Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Herhold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our December 2025 program. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome our speaker and First Friday Club board member, Deacon William Yoho, whose topic will be, What the Heck is a Parish Life Coordinator? And what I learned in my first year. Please silence your cell phones so that all can enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to write down questions, and you can be writing those down during the program. There are cards on the table, and we'll collect those. And after that, we'll have short announcement break, collect those cards, and have a question and answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Archbishop Hoban student Anna Wenslick, who will offer our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God who dispels all darkness, in this season of Advent, come to be with us in each one of our situations. Come to live among us, live with us, and in us. Come to fill the distances that divide and separate us. Come to reconcile us with you and with one another. God of light, open our hearts to the mystery of your love and the invitation of your grace. Let our complacency give way to conversation and our judgments to compassion, acceptance of others. Turn oppression to justice and transform conflict to peaceful accord. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who draws near to us and is our hope. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Anna. Now, my pleasure to introduce First Friday Club board member Steve Brownfield, who will introduce our speaker.
I'll try to make this short because Deacon Yoho keeps jumping up for everybody to come up to speak. Deacon Will has been a board member of the First Friday Club since before I was, so I've known him for that. I think most everybody knows him in here. But in April of 2004, he was asked to take over as parish life coordinator for our Mother of Sorrows. And when he went, we had the idea of asking him, hey, parish life coordinator, that's kind of new around here, but it also looks like it's something which we're going to see more and more of. Would you mind talking about it? And his response was, sure. And then he goes on to say, what the heck is a parish life coordinator and what I learned in my first year? So we'll let him tell us that now. Thanks.
I've got my clock going, so hopefully that'll get me off the stage a little quicker.
Too,
yep.
So you'll be
some people say that I never met a microphone I didn't love, so I might resemble that statement.
I started the early.
Good man. So, yeah, just get the hook when it's about time. It truly is a great blessing to be here. As Steve said, I'm Deacon Will Yoho. And if you've read the bio, you know that Liz and I, my wife Liz and I have been married for 38 years. We have 7 kids and 8 grandkids. Everything they say about grandkids is true. And you know what? It makes it almost worth having kids. I'm so blessed to have Liz as my wife. Like I tell everybody, Liz is perfect in every way except one. She is an extremely poor judge of character. And I married her before she wised up. So, it really is a great privilege to be here, and especially to speak about being a parish life coordinator. Now, they say that you should know your audience before you present. So how many of you have ever heard the term parish life coordinator? Okay, that's actually pretty good. Now, how many of you actually know what that is? Okay. If I can meet with you afterwards, because I'm still learning what it is, and it'll be very helpful for me. So how many of you, there were quite a few people that didn't raise their hand, how many of you thought that you were here for the tax preparation seminar? Okay. I was wondering why there were so many people, and that explains it. Actually, that session is down the road at 2 o'clock. But while you're here, go ahead and finish your lunch, and maybe you too can learn something about a parish life coordinator. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and start with prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your abundance. You truly do bless us each and every day. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit down upon us, that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our mouths to speak your truth and to speak your love. Thank you that we're born into a country where we can come together and openly fellowship and not suffer for that. Please be with our brothers and sisters that suffer every day, and some die for their faith. Let them know somehow that we are with them in solidarity in some mystical way. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for our priests. We truly are blessed that they give their lives to bring Christ to others. We just ask that you continue to bless them. We also ask that you would just call many more and more and more young men to that worthy calling so that we would have enough priests so that each and every parish would have a pastor as you design your church to be. And we ask this with great hope and great expectation because we ask in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the brothers and sisters said, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So what the heck is a parish life coordinator? Well, I'm still honestly kind of figuring that out. So how this all came about, I got a voicemail from Father Joe at Clergy Personnel. Now, for me, generally, it's not a good thing when the personnel department calls you. You might have experienced that. So I'm like, oh, boy, what did I do now? You know, what hate mail did I get? Well, I called him, and he said, hey, the bishop would like you to come to Mother of Sorrows as the parish life coordinator and lead the parish. And, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, can I have a week to think about it, pray about it? And talk to Liz. And he's like, sure, no problem. So I got off the phone, and Liz is like, who was that? And I said, well, it's Father Joe. The bishop would like me to be parish life coordinator at Mother of Sorrows. And she said, well, what's that? And I'm like, I don't know. We really should find out. And I really had no idea. But the best part of being there is there's only one reason that I'm there, and it's because the Holy Spirit wants me there. There's been times in my life where I've worked hard to get to a place of leadership, and the scary part is when you get there, you're like, is this my will or is this God's will? And when it's my will, it's not a fun place to be. But you know what? I know I'm there because that's what the Holy Spirit wanted. Because number one, I didn't know what a parish life coordinator was, and number two, I didn't know the bishop knew my name. So it's clear that the Holy Spirit has called me there, and it is such a blessing. You know, it's funny because I called, within the week, I called Father Joe and I said, hey, when the bishop asks you to do something, is that like Tony Soprano asking you to do something? And he said, well, if you're a priest, yes, it is. He said, if you're a deacon, not as much. So, you know, we all take a vow of obedience to the bishop. And that's a great blessing as well. So, but being a parish life coordinator is a dream come true. It's a dream come true that I never even thought to dream of. It is an answer to prayer that I never even thought to pray for. And as I was trying to figure this out, there are some documents in the church out there that kind of help us understand. And there's two primary ones. Number one is Canon 515 to 517. And then there's also this Vatican's instruction on pastoral conversion of parish community in the service of evangelization of the church. So it really talks about, okay, how our churches were led in the past and now how they're going to have to be led in the future. And a couple of key takeaways from those, and it's kind of self-evident, but it's important to emphasize it, that the bishop is responsible for the spiritual life of everyone in his charge. And thus, he delegates that authority and responsibility to his priests, who are pastors. And so it's really clear or important that we understand clearly that a parish life coordinator is not a pastor. Okay? It's just not. There is a distinguishing nature in that. Okay? A priest is called to pastor. And that is partially because of his office, but it's also because of his charism as a priest. You know, when someone is ordained, they receive an indelible mark on their soul. And deacons receive that as well, but we're called to serve more in the area of service as opposed to in a Eucharistic fashion. And so it's important that we understand that's not, that role of pastor is reserved only for priests. And that's a good thing. Now, what a parish life coordinator is really there to help the priests as the pastors in fulfilling their responsibilities. And we see that all the time. Lay people, I can tell you, at Mother of Sorrows, well, first of all, I'm blessed that I'm the parish life coordinator at Mother of Sorrows, okay? Because they are an amazing community. When I talked to Father Joe, he said, yeah, they went out, they did research, because they're a small parish, they knew they weren't getting a replacement pastor, and they went out and did research, and they looked around, they went down to, or talked to the folks down in Loudonville that had a parish life coordinator, and they petitioned the bishop saying, hey, we want a parish life coordinator. Well, I can tell you, I want to be a part of the community that's fighting for their faith, that's fighting for their church. And it truly has been a blessing. And they are absolutely amazing people. Everybody does something there. Everybody contributes. And to be able to shepherd that effort is just an absolutely amazing privilege. One of the things that maybe the way I can explain the dynamic. So there's two positions. Okay, you can't have a parish life coordinator without a presbyteral moderator. Okay, so canonically, because of the charism, a priest is the leader of that parish. Okay, a parish life coordinator can do many of the responsibilities of a priest, but at the end of the day, it is that priest. And here's why. Okay, in the military, I was in the military for 33 years. Military Leadership 101 says that you cannot have authority without responsibility. And if you separate those, you have a problem. And so the reality is the bishop, the parish priests, okay, they have the responsibility for shepherding God's people, for leading God's people. They have a responsibility for the souls of the parishioners. Now, you can delegate authority. So they delegate authority to parish life coordinators. A pastor even delegates it to associates or parochial vicars or even lay people. Hey, go out and do this ministry. But they're doing it on his authority. Well, the reality of it is that they, at the end of the day, just like with a commander in the military, it doesn't matter what goes wrong. The buck stops with the commander. You, even if you didn't have anything to do with it, you're responsible for everything that happens. And that's why it's important that we have this clear understanding. Now, all of us have a priestly calling because by virtue of our baptism, okay? We all are called to be priest, prophet, and king, but we need to understand the priestly call of the baptized is a general priestly call, whereas the ordination is a specific call with specific characteristics. And at the end of the day, it is the bishop and the pastor. So you can't have a parish life coordinator without having a presbyteral moderator. So to understand those two roles, the way I explain it, and this is tongue-in-cheek, you know, maybe in layman's terms, a parish life coordinator has all the responsibilities of a pastor without the title. Okay, now don't feel bad for me, because the presbyteral moderator, basically the way I explain it is, He's the guy that gets in trouble when the parish life coordinator screws up, okay? So don't feel bad for the parish life coordinator. It's actually the presbyteral moderator really has the more difficult and, you know, more responsibility. Fortunately for me, I am so blessed. Father Mike McCandless is my presbyteral moderator, and he has absolutely empowered me to shepherd Mother of Sorrows Parish. And I'll say this, right? There used to be six parish life coordinators. There are now nine, and that happened within the last month or so, okay? And I think you're going to see more and more of this. My understanding, and don't hold me to this, is basically parishes with 400 or less families, most likely they're going to get a parish life coordinator, okay? The others, and it says right in the canon, now this is, it says this is an extraordinary thing. This should not be the norm. We should not have parish life coordinators. We should pray to our God and expect miracles and expect enough seminarians and enough priests to come so that we have a priest pastor in every parish. But that is why we have it, is because there's such a great need, and it is an extraordinary thing. But canon allows the bishop to provide for that so that that shepherding can happen at each and every parish. I think a good analogy to kind of understand, to shed some light on the parish life coordinator and that relationship to the presbyteral moderator, it's kind of like a physician's assistant to a doctor, okay? Physician's assistants do certain things, okay? But there's certain things that they can't do that the doctor can. You know, one of them is to prescribe certain medications. A physician assistant can't do that. I got an infected finger a couple months back, and the physician assistant said she couldn't lance it for me. Okay, so and the whole purpose of the physician assistant is to do those things that they are authorized to do to free up the doctor who can do those additional things. And I look at that very much. What a parish life coordinator does is we take some of the things off the priest's plate so that they can do. You know, there are certain things that a presbyter or a parish life coordinator can't do. Can't do Mass. You know, and what is the source and summit and pinnacle of our faith? It is the Eucharist. And people, are we blessed or what? The Creator God of the universe makes himself present in the Eucharist. What an amazing thing. Our hearts should break for people that don't receive that. And that's what our parish priests do for us, is they literally bring Christ to us. And we receive and we are nourished in that. And what an amazing thing. Obviously, they provide reconciliation. They are a bridge to help us reconnect with our God when we've fallen short. And we all fall short. But praise be to God, our church has a sacrament for that. You know, and last rites, you know, it, within that is the forgiveness of sin, and so they provide that as well. You know, we have deacons that, you know, do baptisms and weddings and some of those other things, but the parish life coordinator is to help the priest be able to focus on those critical things. So I think a physician assistant is a good analogy for that. As I said at the beginning, being a parish life coordinator, to be able to shepherd God's people, I feel like I've hit the lottery. You know, that's the fourth best thing that ever happened to me. Number one was coming into relationship with Christ. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Number two is having Liz in my life. Okay? I don't understand it. When I get to heaven, you know, God's going to have to explain that, how he blessed me with her. I mean, just, I definitely nerd out, folks. So, you know, and the third thing was becoming a deacon. You know, for a child of God like me that struggles and falls short and sins, for God and his church to allow me to baptize a child. I'd go to school, you know, for four, now it's 5 years to be a deacon if I did nothing but baptize babies and bring them into the church. It truly is an absolutely blessing. So that's the third greatest thing. And I'll say this, the fourth greatest thing is being a parish life coordinator. I just never dreamed that I would have the privilege. Now, it's a responsibility, and that responsibility scares me. Well, you know what? Our God is God, not a God of fear, so it doesn't scare me. But whatever that next thing below being afraid is, that's what I am. Okay? Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, we that shepherd, we're going to answer to a much higher standard. And I'm, pray for me. But it is such an absolutely amazing thing. There are so many great blessings of being at Mother of Sorrows. The folks there, I'm telling you, if you're just okay with the parish you're at, come to our parish. Because the people there are absolutely amazing. Here's a shameful advertisement, okay? Come hike in the park. Okay, we have Mass at Saturday at 5 o'clock, 9:30 on Sunday. Hike in the park, bike in the park, kayak in the park, and then come to Mass, and then go to dinner at Fisher's or Winking Lizard. It's a perfect date night, okay? But it truly is. And you know what? Mother of Sorrows, it might be the smallest parish in the diocese, okay? But we have people that come from 50 miles away, and it is their parish because of the beauty of that community. And for me, God is so good to bless me with that great privilege. Here's the glory of it. For about 3 years, there were no sacraments happening at Mother of Sorrows, and that's heartbreaking. But you know what? This year, we had plenty of baptisms. We had many marriages. Praise be to God. You know, we had many of our brothers and sisters that went home to the Lord, and we were able to celebrate their lives in the funeral service. I've had the great privilege of preaching at those opportunities, and it really is. And we've done adoration, and there's power. So I'm an instructor in this school. It's called the Encounter School of Healing Ministry. And one of the things we teach our students is do not insult God with your small kingdom dreams. When you go to God, ask for something that's ridiculous. Ask for something that can't be done. Then, when it is, even our egos can't steal his glory. And our kingdom dream is that we have to add a third Mass. That our Masses are so filled with people, and especially babies. I love babies. Hey, the church ain't crying, it's dying, right? Yeah, and I love it. I call it church music, okay? When I hear kids crying, and they do cry when I preach. I don't know what that's about. Actually, the adults do sometimes, too. But never met a microphone I didn't love. But that's our kingdom dream, is that, and what we want is literally people to be driving down the road and going, I don't know what it is, but there's something about that church. I want to go inside there. And you know why that's going to happen? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll say, quick, my wife always gives me the, I'll be talking to people. She's like, leave them alone. But I was grossly ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit. Grossly ignorant. I was walking with the Lord for 35 years and was clueless to the power of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to make things happen. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. Activities that we've had, both reaching out to the community and within the community in faith development I don't think it's ever been that way. And it's not me at all, okay? It's the Holy Spirit and the parishioners. And my attitude is, you want to do something? My answer is yes, okay? Anything that we can reach out to people or help disciple people, the answer is yes. Now let's talk about how we get there. As long as you're willing to lead it, and I don't have to, okay? But there's so much going on, and it is absolutely because of the parishioners. And here's an example of how the Holy Spirit's moving. So we came up with many deferred maintenance issues, okay? A lot hasn't been done for quite a while. And so we came up, facilities committee came up, top 10 things that need done, $165,000. A lot of money for a parish of... thinks it's 400 families, but it's probably closer to 200, okay? So that's a lot of money, okay? So we got together, finance committee said, yep, let's do it. We sent out letters, and the Holy Spirit went to work. So, of the 165,000 that we needed, the Holy Spirit brought us $285,000 in commitments. It's all Him. Now, I'll say this, I'm counting on the Holy Spirit. I've seen, and God has used these hands to pray over people, and three separate times at least, literally cancer's gone away. There was a little girl with two perforated eardrums. I didn't pray over her, my friends did. Two perforated eardrums. They prayed over. They scheduled surgery a month out. Meantime, her grandmother brings her in. They pray over her. Week before the surgery, grandmother takes her in, and the doctor's going, What? And she's like, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't get it. The holes are gone. But the crazy part is, there's no scars. It's like they were never there. Miracles happen today. And if you don't know and have the Holy Spirit working in your life actively, look into it. You know, I was mad. I'm like, I've been walking with the Lord for 35 years. How come nobody told me about it? Well, duh, Will, they did. It's called the Bible. Okay, what could be better than Jesus Christ standing up here talking to us? What's the answer? What? Wrong. Everybody says nothing. That's wrong. Jesus says that's wrong. You know what's better than that? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, it is better that I go so I can send the Holy Spirit. Well, duh, Will. How important is the Holy Spirit if Jesus said it's better that the Holy Spirit? So if you are not wired in to the power of the Holy Spirit, by virtue of your baptism, you have access to that. Whatever Jesus did, you have access. He said, you will do these things and greater. So, and I, like I said, I was grossly ignorant, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to continue to transform Mother of Sorrows Parish. You know, it's interesting. My buddy said, this is 40 years in the making. And there are so many things. I feel like I just look back and see God's fingerprints all over my life. There's so many things that have happened in my life, good and bad, that have prepared me to shepherd God's people. Just a couple of examples. I had two deployments overseas, being in the military, and being separated from my family. You know what? That's prepared me to minister to people that are lonely. You know, I've had businesses that have failed. That's prepared me to walk alongside people who are suffering through disappointments and failures in life. I've had the great privilege of being a casualty notification officer and a casualty assistance officer. And what that's taught me is how to minister to those that have lost someone that they dearly loved. I did Bike for Life when I was 19. It's before your brain stem fully forms and you don't feel pain. We rode our bicycle to California back, 5,608 miles in 61 days. Nuts. Okay? And I've run marathons and mini triathlons, not the real deal. 50Ks. Okay? All those things have taught me how to do hard things, how to stay the course in the midst of difficulty. And because of that, that helps me to come along aside of parishioners and people that are struggling, that don't know if they can keep going. There's just, you know, having Liz in my life. I mean, she has taught me example of, and this is her, not me, loving people who are unlovable, okay? She's taught me that. And you know what? There are people in the parish that, at times are unlovable. Sometimes it's me, but she taught me that. That life experience, God prepared me for this assignment. To Liz, to always see the good in others. She calls me on to that, and that's critical. In leadership, if you can make 51% of the people happy, you're the second coming of Christ, okay? It's just a reality. Leadership is a hard thing, okay? And to be able to see the good in others, to be able to look and say, well, they're totally looking at things a different way. But to be able to see that and see the good in them is super important. To see in her quiet resilience, just steady and seeing and staying the course. That experience with her has helped me to know that there's going to be difficult times, but you know what? We can, in fact, stay the course. So there's so many things. Neil Durbin, okay, Holy Family Parish. When you guys get to heaven, you're going to know Neil, okay? Because he's going to be walking around heaven like this, because he's going to have so many jewels in his crown, he's not going to be able to hold his head up, okay? He discipled me. When I came to faith when I was 19 years old, and here's the thing, I went on a young adult retreat program, and my life was changed. The trajectory of my life completely changed. It's the first time that I heard, I'm not saying it's the first time that I was told, but it's the first time I heard that God the Father loved me so much that he sent his only perfect son. Now, I got to tell you, I love what y'all, but I wouldn't have any of my kids die for you. Okay? And God the Father, that's what he did for me. And to pay a price that I could never pay. And I'm the type of person, it drove me crazy. I almost lost my mind because I would rather have you owe me $98 than me owe you two. I hate owing anybody anything. And I was. I'm like, how do I repay Jesus for what he's done? And I'm like, ugh. Well, you know what? Neil Durbin, praise be to God, for 2 years after I came to faith, discipled me. And he helped me figure out I can never pay that debt. I can't pay the interest on that debt. Okay? But what he helped me figure out is I want my life to be a thank you to Jesus for what he did. And sometimes I think I've been fairly successful, and other times I've catastrophically failed. But that's what I want. And so I truly believe that being a parish life coordinator is a gift from God allowing me to say thank you for what he's done. It's just humbling. You know, sometimes I have to pinch myself. You know, when I'm driving in to the church, I'm like, is this really real? You know, to be able to shepherd people that have a beautiful faith, that love Jesus, that are a family. And in Peninsula, like, nothing, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I'm pretty sure everybody's related. Okay? It is. I mean, it's like a town straight out West Virginia or something. I mean, and the thing is, nobody leaves. I mean, it's a great community. Why would you leave? Okay? But, so like, you know, the old saying, you ain't from around here, are you? Okay? But I can tell you, that parish has welcomed Liz and I so much. I honestly feel part of the family. I really do. And that has been such a blessing. To work alongside in the vineyards, in the Father's vineyard, work alongside, you know, beautiful, beautiful people, truly is a privilege. And to shepherd and help lead really is a blessing. You know, God, everything he's done to this point in my life has prepared me. You know, I've owned, I don't know, 6 or 8 businesses over the years. Okay, very successful businesses. Mechanical contracting, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, primarily real estate, commercial real estate, and have been very blessed by it. But you know what? Believe it or not, you have to know about spending money, okay, in a parish. And you have to be frugal. And I am. Okay, I'm frugal. We have 7 kids. We didn't have a choice. We had to be frugal, okay? I'm frugal with my money. I'm even more frugal with the parishioner's money, and I'm even more frugal with God's money. Yes, Stan. We are. Except one area where we're not frugal, and that's going to be in our worship space. The inside of our church we're redoing it. It will be perfect because our God is worthy of that. But to be able to come alongside and to share that experience and to share life with the parishioners is an incredible, incredible blessing. And I do. I thank God every day for it. Even the bad things, there's bad things that have happened in my life. I went to Afghanistan in 2011, 2012. I got banged up really bad, came back, suffered PTSD. And the thing is, people don't kill themselves because of their sadness. They kill themselves because they don't think things are going to get better. When you're in that, you don't believe it's going to get better. Let me tell you, okay, it's going to get better. And praise be to God, my wife, counselors, friends, we were able to walk out of that. But I will say this, than Afghanistan. You know, it was the tagline, my takeaway from Afghanistan is evil won. Okay? Up was down, down was up. It was messed up like a soup sandwich. Okay? And when I came back home, I was a broken man. Afghanistan is the worst thing that ever happened to me, but it's also the best thing that ever happened to me. Because that situation ground me down to dust. Okay? There was no reason for me to be proud. There's no reason for me to have pride. And but God rebuilt me. My favorite line in the whole Bible is, man has meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good. And where that comes from is the book of Genesis. So here's the scenario. Joseph, and this is one of my favorite stories. So his brothers basically stuck it to him. Okay, they threw him in a hole, sold him as a slave. Bad thing, right? Okay, well then he goes to this guy, Potiphar. Okay, he's the servant there, does everything right. Potiphar's wife had hots for him. He rejected her. She said, he raped me. Guess what? Bad thing. He ends up in prison. Okay? His buddies in prison are like, hey, when we get out, we're going to hook you up, brother. You're going to be good to go. Guess what? His buddies got out. No hookup. So he languished in prison. Ultimately, though, because bad thing happened, he became the number two guy in all of Egypt. And there was a worldwide famine. Every nation in the world came to Egypt to beg food. Well, guess who came? Joseph's brothers. So they're standing before Joseph, and they're like, and then finally they realize he shaved his head and looked totally different, you know, makeup and everything else. So they didn't know who it was, but then it hit him. So imagine this. Your brother that you sold as a slave, you're standing in front of him. I imagine the conversation's kind of something like this is, hey, Joe, about that slave thing, we're really sorry, you know? And he had the power to say, off with your heads. But he didn't do that. He looked at them and he said, man has meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good. And what that means to me is even if bad things happen to me, even if Afghanistan happens to me, that my God can make good come from it. And you know what? Having that truth, I know nothing happens to me that isn't first filtered through my Father's loving hands. Okay, not that God makes bad things happen. Bad things happen because we live in a broken world. Okay, but God can allow those things to make good come of it. And we have confidence that that will in fact happen. Now, most of the things we look back in the rearview mirror and we see how God has used it for good. Now, there's like 5%. I'm still waiting. I don't think we're going to know until we get to heaven. And then we'll go, oh, got it, Lord. Okay, but our God makes good come from bad things. To have that peace and that confidence, we are blessed. We need to share that with the world. You know, I say it all the time. I'm in awe of atheists. Okay? Weird thing for a deacon to say. But how you make it through this life and keep going without thinking this world is personally out to get you. I don't know how they do it. But you know what? We are blessed in knowing that. And I know that that bad thing that happened to me, our God makes good come from it. And so we have that peace, but we have to desire that for others. You know, I was a tanker, and in tanking, we had a euphemism, okay? A target-rich environment, which is a nice way of saying that you're surrounded by enemy tanks, okay? You literally can't fire your main gun in any direction without hitting one. Well, guess what? We're in a target-rich environment, okay? Go to a mall. You can't walk 10 feet in any direction without finding someone that is broken and needs Jesus' love in their life. That's what they need. And we have the privilege and the responsibility to do that. And I have the privilege of sharing that message. What an amazing thing to be there with the people when they lose someone they love. 5 minutes? Oh, this is hard. I hate clocks. So in any case, you know, life is hard. It truly is. But to have a family that we can walk through this and to be able to shepherd that family, I feel like I've won the lottery 10 weeks in a row. I really do. And I do. I thank God for that. Ultimately, if you're sitting there and you're struggling in life, okay, you don't see the point, okay, you're hanging on, you feel like you just can't go another day, or you know what, you're struggling trying to do it your own way, what it comes down to, the way we overcome that is by putting our faith in Jesus. You know, I can't do it. You can't do it, but you know what? I know a guy that can. And his name is Jesus. And how that happens is by us simply putting our faith and trust in him. We give him our lives and say, you know what? Do what you will. And I can tell you, I've tried to do it on my own. It doesn't work very well. But when we give our lives to Jesus, there's a harmony and a peace that comes with that. And even if we have that relationship, we've had that encounter with Christ, but you know, we get worn down by life, we need to re-engage. We need to have that encounter. We need to recommit. And so what I'm going to ask everybody to do, it doesn't matter where you're at in your faith journey, whether you have no relationship with Christ or you know you may be connected, I'm going to ask everybody, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So I ask everybody to take up a good prayer posture, close your eyes, and I'm going to lead you. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I know that I am a sinner.
I know that I am a sinner.
I ask you your forgiveness.
I ask you your forgiveness.
I need you as my Savior.
I need you as my Savior.
I know that you paid the price for my sins.
I know that you paid the price for my sins.
With your Holy Spirit,
with your Holy Spirit,
I will turn away from my sins.
I will turn away from my sins.
I give you my heart and my life.
I give you my heart and my life.
I place my trust in you.
I place my trust in you.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I give permission.
I give permission
to the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
To work in my life.
To work in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
We are all a new creation in God. We're not the same people who walked in this room. Count on the Holy Spirit. Expect miracles of the Holy Spirit. Don't offend God by coming and saying, oh, can you make my knee feel better? Okay? Or, well, now, you know, if you ask for the lottery, that's not a small ask, so. But seriously, ask big, and he will bless you for that. I hope I help clarify and understand, because it is the way of the future. Parish life coordinators, there's going to be a lot more of them, okay? And they will need your help. They will need your support, because, quite frankly, we don't wear the collar. Okay, there's a certain amount of authority and reverence that a collar carries. We don't have a collar. Okay, so we need the support even more. Okay, so I hope I've shed some light on what a parish life coordinator is and what they do. What I would ask you, and everybody I talk to, I say, please pray that I shepherd well and I finish strong. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you. By the way, the real truth is when they asked me to speak on Parish Life Coordinator, I said I would do it if we can't find somebody else, a better speaker. So you get what you get.
Thank you, Will. I think we learned a lot, and the Spirit is with you and with us today.
Amen.
And for that, we're grateful. If you have questions, please hold those up, and board members will pick those up. Just hold them up in the air, and we'll grab those. Our next First Friday gathering will be here on the second Friday of January, due to the first being so close to the holiday. Our speaker will be Father Jeff Lindholm, parochial vicar at St. Barnabas and Our Lady of Guadalupe, whose topic will be Reflections of a Newly Ordained Priest. If you're listening to our podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $25 to First Friday Club of Greater Akron, Post Office Box 13291, Fairlawn 44334. You can call our phone number at 330-535-7668 each month to make a reservation, or online using Eventbrite, but you will have to pay a fee for that. We encourage everyone to sign up on a monthly basis, and we encourage you to take a look, if you did not receive it in the mail, at our schedule and our brochure for next year. We're taking subscriptions for that, and would hope that many of you would try to sign up for more than one session. And they're on the front table to be picked up. So that's all there. And we have a good lineup of, we have our usual Catholic students from the high school. We'll be visited by Frank Olin, the Secretary of the Superintendent, the Secretary of Education for the diocese. Our board member and good friend, Father Norm Douglas, will be doing reflections on 9/11. Jim Mullen, the Catholic Charities President and CEO. And then, of course, Bishop Malesic will be back with us again. So please take a look at that. We want to thank those of you who donated to We Give Catholic. We appreciate the support. In fact, it enabled us to receive three times the level of donations that we did last year. So we're very pleased with that. Again, we have different levels of donations that are available in our subscriptions, so please take a look at that, too, to become a sponsor. And if you're somebody here that's not on our mailing list, please see one of our board members so that we can get you on our mailing and or emailing list. Now I'd like to do some recognitions. Please raise your hand if this is your first time as a visitor at First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Welcome. Please come back. We want to recognize the wonderful young people from Archbishop Hoban. Raise your hand. And also our board members. You have some cards. And normally, Deacon Will, when he's here, does the job of asking the questions, so I'm going to let him ask himself.
All right, I'm playing Stump the Chump. I think I can get him. Oh, wow, this is a good one, actually. Can you ask the Holy Spirit what the winning lottery numbers are? Okay, really? No, actually, these are great questions. I'm going to try to go quick. What is the most difficult thing about being a parish life coordinator? Telling people no. Okay, we have some people want this and some people want that. And, it's just hard. I want to try to be open to all input. But at the end of the day, I have to decide. I'm the one that splits the baby. And it's hard to, because I don't want to have people think that I disrespect what they're sharing and what they're saying. But at the end of the day, that's probably, I would say, the hardest thing for me. Who is your role model in becoming a parish life coordinator? Well, I would make it more general, because before this, I didn't even know there was parish life coordinators, and I didn't know those that were. By the way, I didn't mention it. We have at least the six. One other one was a deacon. Three people were lay people, and one was a nun. So that was kind of the makeup of the group, and it can be any of those things. So I would go more general, and it would be a leader, and it was actually General Harris from the Ohio National Guard to lead that organization of 15,000 people, but he did it. He cared about people. He truly cared about people. And so he was my role model. Where did I meet Liz? Well, through the search program, that program that changed my life. Okay. She was there. And the cool part, I was dating like six girls at the time. Okay. And the funny thing is, so I was dating Jane, and she introduced me, I was dating Paula Jean, she introduced me to Jane, and Jane introduced me to Nikki, and I started dating her, and then Nikki introduced me to Liz. Liz was really smart. She didn't introduce me to anybody.
But what's amazing, literally within 5 minutes of seeing her, I just saw a beauty. I mean, she's hot, but, you know, physically. But I just saw, sorry, hon, she's going to kill me. I am in so much trouble. But she had this inner beauty about her. I'm like, I want to be with her. And I knew within 5 minutes I was going to marry her. Now, it took her a while to warm up to the idea, but that's okay. So that's where I met her. My favorite Bible verse, man has meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good. That tells me that no matter what happens to me, my Heavenly Father is going to use it for good. There's many pastoral initiatives beginning at Mother Sorrow's Parish. Describe some of them. Well, we did a, real quick, we did a mass inviting first responders to show them that we cared for. We did a parish appreciation dinner. We have outside activities. We did the blessing of the bikes, okay, in the spring, and later on in the summer we do the blessing of the kayaks, trying to pull in some young people. We've done, Father DiPrilli, awesome speaker, come in and talk about the pictures or the artwork of Mother Sorrow. So lots of things like that. And honestly, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, we're just beginning. Truth of the matter is, the building facilities have consumed so much of my time. I was so excited about coming and developing discipleship and love for Jesus. Yeah, you know, roofs are part of taking care of the plant. So, but yeah, the good news is that there's going to be many, many more. But all of those initiatives, all those wonderful initiatives have absolutely been the parish and the parishioners doing it for us. Okay, okay. Without a pastor, what's the secret of that of your parish, Mother Sorrow's, being such a vibrant place? Honestly, it was that way before I got there. I'm just privileged to be able to maybe focus the effort. And honestly, good leadership, paint the vision, okay? Encourage those that do have gifts they're ready to share to draw out giftedness in others that don't even know they have gifts, to provide them resources and encouragement and have them go out there and change the world. I think that's the key. And like I said, they were doing awesome before I got there. Yeah. And I talked to a lot of Parish Life coordinators. I don't know any of them. Well, actually, there's maybe one or two. Most of them aren't as blessed having such a dynamic parish. What are the biggest differences between your role at IHM versus here? I was a deacon. The deacon's function is to, all deacons, basically, our job is to do what our pastor says, okay? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. A deacon is all about service. So I did some teaching. I led in every aspect of my life. In the military, I was a lieutenant colonel, which is two steps below general. I commanded for 7 years. I was second lieutenant commander, which never happens. So I've had, you know, I've spent so much time leading. And honestly, I loved IHM because, you know what? I didn't lead. Father, what do you want me to do? And I went out and I executed that. And it was kind of a nice break from that. I saw that. but here, it's total shepherding and leading. So it could, honestly, it couldn't be any further different, the two roles. I loved both of them. I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And you know what? I'm going to be at Mother of Sorrows, until the Holy Spirit wants me to be somewhere else, and then I'm going there. But that may be the grave, so not scaring anybody there. So what's a typical day like at the parish? Well, we're a very small parish. This week, it was 7 days a week, okay? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Actually, and I think even Monday and Wednesday, okay? But that honestly, that's unusual. And it's funny because Father Joe's like, well, How much do you think you should get paid? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You're the employer. Shouldn't you be telling me that? He's like, well, how much time do you think you're going to spend? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, initially, it's probably going to be 40 hours a week. After that, it'll probably be steady state, 15 or 20 hours. It's a fairly small parish. Some weeks, you know, I might do 15 or 20 hours. This week, it's probably, I don't know, 50 or 60. So it just, I mean, it's all over the board. What it comes down to is whatever the parish needs me to do. Ultimately, my goal is to put me out of a job. Okay? I want Mother Sorrows to be so vibrant and so full of families that they get a pastor. That's my goal. And you know what? I believe with the Holy Spirit that is going to happen. Which, how cool of a thing would that be in the diocese to have that kind of a process instead of it going the other way? And you know what? God will do what God does, you know, with me when the new pastor comes in. Let's see. I'm really trying to get through these. Okay, yeah. As a parishioner of Mother Sorrows, Father McCandless is an answer to prayer. Amen to that, brother. He could not be more supportive of our parish. Our parish priests, the retired priests. By the way, you want to see the happiest men in the world? When they retire, they're like, yes. Amen, brother? Matter of fact, one time I was talking about the Capitol campaign and asking for money, and Father Rosing's over there all smiling. He goes, I don't have to worry about that. But we are. We're so blessed with having our retired priest. And they do. They just bring a joy. And I think they like us the best, okay? Diane never has a problem getting them, okay? Because we do. We love them. And they're amazing. You know, I never met Father Pfeiffer, okay? I couldn't believe it. I thought I knew every priest. What a godly man. I just like being on the altar with him, hoping, you know, some of his holiness will rub off on me. And so we are so, so blessed. But to have Father Mike as a presbyteral moderator, honestly. Well, the funny part is I worked with him when he was a student at Hoban doing a service project. And then when he was in seminary, we had him over for dinner. So I've just, you know, seen him grow from where he was. I mean, and he is. He's such a godly man. Our church has great hopes. You know why? Because Father McCandless, if he was in the corporate world, he'd be a vice president, okay? And there are so many gifted young men. We do. You know, it's easy to look around the church and go, ooh, okay, stop it. Because of young men like him that are willing. You know, now this is a crude analogy. I'm the chicken, he's the ham, okay? I make a donation, okay? He makes a sacrifice. Priests give their lives to you. Okay, I give, and I love serving, but mine, you know, I don't sacrifice everything for that. They do. And so we need to go out of our ways to show appreciation. And so he has been such a blessing at the parish and so supportive. I don't know how he does what he does. Okay, now here, I better not say it. I'll get in trouble. Okay. All right, yeah, I'm not going to say that. Okay, does a parish life coordinator need to be a deacon or a religious sister or an ordained person? Not at all. And my guess is there'll be more. Well, I will say this, okay, because deacons, we have that indelible mark. When we're ordained, okay, the Holy Spirit comes in. And we do have an indelible mark in our soul. And because of that, there are special charisms and graces that come. So, and you know what? There's no difference between the Pope, the bishops, priests, deacon, laity, you know what? We're all children of God. That's where we get our real value. But each person has a different charism. And so the church would prefer that it be a deacon because of those special graces. The reality is, you know, I think it's going to be more lay people than it is deacons. But so you don't, the short answer is, you don't have to be a deacon or a religious sister to do it. Now, what I would say is, there is training at the Center for Pastoral Development, whatever. Borromeo, okay? There's classes where you can learn. Now, what I would say is if you have any interest in that, I would look into that because, and I could see them maybe at some point in the future offering some type of a program to develop that because it is a weird beast, okay? I got to tell you. It is. You know, you got to know everything from boilers, you know, to liturgy, to accounting. So but like I said, the Holy Spirit prepared me for it. Did they prepare me? Okay. Father Joe's not here. Okay. Here's the preparation. Here's your keys.
Oh, like Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know what? It's not me anyways. All I have to be is faithful. The Holy Spirit's going to do the rest. My Mother Teresa, you know, her saying got me through my deployments. I don't have to be successful. I just have to be faithful. And that's all any of us. What I would say is, however you serve your church, okay, look into that. Because there are talents here that our church, hey, talking to you people. Hey, what's his name?
James.
Kate. James? Okay, I'm talking to you, okay? You have giftedness that your church is missing out on. All of you. And you know what? It's like I say, our family, we have seven kids. I love having all my kids under my roof, okay? I say it all the time. If you're not here, I say it to the C&Es, Christmas and Easter people, okay? If you're not here, the family's not whole, okay? And you guys, I don't know why, but and the Holy Spirit speaks to me sometimes, and there are several of you that have a mark on your life. God has an amazing plan. You have no idea the plans that he has for you. Yeah. So, start doing something. Okay? Doesn't matter what it is. Literally, be an usher at church. Collect the money. Okay? Be a lector. I'm just telling you. Actually, you know what? Every one of you, okay, you've been marked. You need to share your gifts. And you have so many. You have gifts you don't even know you have. So, please, I'm asking you to plug in. All of you. If you don't do anything at your parish, you're cheating the parish. Okay? And like I said, you can collect, you can pass. Judy Orsine, I love that woman. Okay? You know what she does? She passes out our missalettes at every Mass, and she collects those. But you know what? She does it with love. Okay? I can't wait to see her in the morning. Okay, I'm going long, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay, anyways, like I said, never met a microphone I didn't love. Thank you all so much. You really have been so attentive. Attentive? That's not a word. Attentive? Thank you. And I really do appreciate it. So, may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
I'd like to introduce Alex Krohn, who will, from Archbishop Hoban, who will offer our closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for bringing us together here today, for your guiding presence, for the meal that we shared, and for the conversations in which we participated. We are grateful for the gifts of fellowship and understanding. We ask you to continue to guide Deacon Will and all parish life coordinators in their work. Bless their ministries as they work to meet the needs of your people in humble obedience to your will. Fill them with the grace and fortitude they need to share your wisdom with all they meet. Help each of us to discern our vocation in life and to respond by living lives of holiness. Raise up dedicated and compassionate leaders who will serve as sisters, priests, brothers, deacons, and lay ministers. As we go forth today, enliven us with joyful spirits of hope as we continue to prepare our hearts during this Advent season. We ask all things this day through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, that's giftedness. That was awesome.
Thank you so much, Alex. Just a reminder, too, if you please feel free to grab some of the desserts off the table as you go, if you'd like some. And I want to thank everyone for coming, and hopefully we'll see some of you next month on January 9th. Safe travels.